This morning I'm going right back to Genesis, to creation, and I'm going to be talking about being made in the image of God. And I'm going to start by looking at Genesis 1, 26 to 28. And Steve is going to read that for us.
Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth."
Right, the first thing I noticed was it says, "Let us make man in our image." So we've got the whole of the Trinity here, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit working in creation. And God was pleased with all he'd created. And now we come to the sixth day, and man was created. God saw his creation so far was so good. But mankind was given responsibility for all the earth and everything in it, for all the birds, the fish, everything. So we had a purpose, we had a responsibility. In Psalm 8, 4 to 6, it says, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? You've made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him to have dominion over works of your hands. You put all things under his feet." So nothing in creation has a higher status. We are God's workmanship, and we're called to be good stewards of the earth and everything in it. But why do you think the three-in-one God created mankind? Well, it was out of his pleasure, out of his love, that he created mankind. He didn't need our help. He was doing very well without us. And as his creation, we have the pleasure of knowing him. He wanted to share love and have a relationship with us. We were to be made in his image. We were given free will, the ability to reason and think and make choices, think through moral issues, to have a conscience and to be able to distinguish between right and wrong. And in that way, we're different to the animals. God knew this was a good plan, but also there was a potential for sin. Adam and Eve were disobedient and brought sin into the world, thus marrying the original design. But God's ultimate plan was for grace, love, and redemption through the cross. God's all-knowing. He knows the past, the present, the future. So he didn't think, "Oh my goodness, it's all gone wrong." He had a plan. God sent his son into the world as a man to reflect God's glory and show us what it means to be made in the image of God. Everything that Jesus said or did was to reflect the glory of God. His obedience, his death, his resurrection revealed that redemptive plan to save us. Adam and Eve had broken that intimacy, but God's plan was to reconcile man with God, to restore man's relationship with God. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." He reflects glory, grace, and truth. And in Colossians 1, verse 15, it says, "Jesus was the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation." So Jesus was sent to show us what it means to be the image of God, to reflect God's glory. Well, the ancient people knew all about images and often connected them with royalty. Rulers couldn't be everywhere at once. Travel was slow, so monuments and statues were erected all over to show where the kingdom was. And in Luke 20, verse 23, we see the teachers of the law trying to trick Jesus about paying taxes. Well, is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Jesus' answer was, "Show me a denarius whose image and inscription are on it." "Caesar's," they replied. And it was very interesting. When I looked up about the coin, it said, this is the New Testament, it says, but also there was an inscription that said, "Son of God, the true high priest." This is in the New Testament. So I thought it was interesting. Caesar was considered royalty. Kings were all powerful and they had a kingdom. So they were considered like a god. Another kind of image was an idol that wasn't considered a god in itself. It was just to let you know that the god they worshipped was in some way present. Now in creation, God had created a space where heaven and earth meet. It was God's home. And it was a temple, a holy place where God's people could be in his presence, a place of worship where humanity and God could be together. And like a temple, there had to be an image of himself to reflect God into the world, not a statue, not a dead statue. This was man in the image of God reflecting his glory. It was like an angled mirror with God's representatives reflecting God to the world and praise and worship back to God. It symbolized God's presence among his people. On the seventh day of creation, God rested, and the ancients would have interpreted that as God resting in his temple in creation. And that's a pattern for us to follow, to take time off to rest. Well, the image of God wasn't a physical image, a physical likeness, because God hasn't got a body. He's a spirit. Being in God's image means we reflect all the characteristics of his nature. We were created to reflect God's glory. This means we should live in a way that reveals his character and nature to others. And we can achieve this through our actions, attitudes, and words, demonstrating love, kindness, honesty, and other godly attributes. It involves a life in line with God's purposes and allows his light to shine through the glory. It's like a mirror reflecting the nature of God. I do think this is a challenge. I like to think I'm a work in progress. Sometimes I think, well, I'm a bit of a slow learner because I keep doing the same things wrong. But thankfully, God is patient. Well, how can we be glory carriers? Well, I lead a group interceding for Maidenhead. Jesus is always interceding for us, taking our prayers to the Father. He stands in the gap, taking our prayers to God the Father. And we believe, as we pray, that something is changing in the heavenlies. We're making a difference in our town. And we want Maidenhead to be a place where Jesus is known and made known. I love the Lord's Prayer, especially the version sung by Andrea Bongelli, and this often forms the basis for our prayers and intercession. We always start, by giving thanks for our town. Maidenhead is a pleasant place to live. There's so much beauty around from God's creation, with the Thames nearby, the thicket, and we're served by many parks, churches, and schools. Yes, I know we've got these flats that have replaced our lovely Victorian houses, but see that as an opportunity. See all those new people coming into our community. See churches able to reach out to even more people. So I think it's, well, it is so important to be grateful for all that God's given us. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from a Father of lights with whom there's no variation or turning. We're so grateful for God's provision. He's placed us in this town, and this is our area of influence. Everything we have or own is for God, and we praise him for his faithfulness and his love. And there's no reason to boast about our earnings, our job, our house. There's no reason to boast at all. I'll tell you a little story about this man. He received a badge because he was the most humble person in his church that week. The following week, he lost it because he wore it. So it's our desire to see God's will done in Maidenhead as in heaven. We connect with God through praise and worship and scripture and ask God to direct our prayers so that they're effective. Thy will be done in Maidenhead as it is in heaven. Everyone in Maidenhead and elsewhere is part of God's plan. He wants us to be good witnesses to everyone we meet. J. John the Evangelist talks of praying, caring, and sharing. We pray intentionally. Coincidences happen when we pray and don't when we don't. We care for others by listening and helping out with practical needs, giving of our time and resources. J. John says that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Then we share about Jesus. Personal testimonies and stories of answered prayers are so powerful. Being obedient to God's word, following his commands and principles, showing his authority and faithfulness, reading the Bible, listening to the Holy Spirit, all pleasing to God, whose heart is for all men to come to know him. We form a relationship with the people we pray for. We build them up in confidence and give them hope. We mirror God's unconditional love. We see and cap Christians Against Poverty so often at the end of the session when we pray, or Janet usually prays, for the person. And it just see a change in their whole demeanor. It just gives them hope. It just gives them confidence that someone cares. During lockdown, there was a great feeling of community with people showing care and concern for their neighbours. And we continue to pray for loving communities where people come to recognise their need of God and everyone is looked after and cared for. The Bible tells us to pray for those in authority, for church leaders, to work together, for unity. We pray for local government, teachers and all in a position of trust, that they may have godly wisdom, discernment, and make wise decisions for our town. We want Maidenhead to be a town where justice and mercy are shown to all, a place where forgiveness is practiced and people are heard and understood. We've stood quite a few times outside the town hall in a little group praying for the people that work there, praying for our town, and several times we've had the doorman come out just to see what's going on. What are this group of elderly people doing outside the town hall? And we can say to him, well, we're Christians and we're praying. We're praying for everybody who works here. We're praying that make good decisions. And they're always really grateful. Their face seems to light up and we can engage in conversation then. We want to show the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. They all reflect God's character and help others see him at work, and our attitudes are important. Sometimes it's what we don't say, or it's our facial expressions that give us away, or sometimes our gestures, banging a door or, walking away. Anyway, won't go into that. We must mirror God's compassion and reach out to all people and see everyone come into faith and accept him as their Lord and Saviour. It's more difficult to trust God during the difficult times. But in those tough times, that's when we really need God, remembering he gives us peace and loves us unconditionally. I've had some serious illnesses, but God's been with me, and I've known of his love through the prayer of others. When things were really tough and it was difficult to go on, I just remember other people coming and just encouraging me and just bringing God's love to me. And through worship, through songs, I played the Lord's Prayer endlessly by Andres Bocelli. I was in isolation, so I didn't bother anybody. towards the end, "For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory," were words that really encouraged me. That speaks of God's authority, grace, and majesty, for God's will to be done on earth as in heaven. And as intercessors, this is a regular prayer for us. We want to reflect God into our community, emphasizing we're made in his image. But if we want to see our town transformed, then we need to be transformed. Transformation begins with us. We need to become living examples of his grace and power. So in summary, we just need to think about the points that came up. We were given a responsibility to look after the earth and everything in it. Creation was God's home. It was a place where heaven and earth came together. It was a temple. And as image bearers, we can make God present. We reflect God's glory, and worship is directed back to God. Isn't it a privilege to be part of God's creation? We are God's creation, and he delights in us. And my prayer is that we may be transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, that our actions reflect God's grace and kindness, that we are growing and changing into who we were meant to be. Amen. And then in a minute, we're going to play the Lord's Prayer. But just a few things before that. I'm going to read a statement. I just want you to be quiet and just pause for a minute and think. Just contemplate about the words. Who or what are you grateful for? Are you open to do his will? Do you need to forgive anyone? And what attitudes do you need to change? Can we play the Lord's Prayer now, please? You can sit, stand, however you want to listen to it. Thank you.
Thank you, Yuna.
Deliver us from evil.